Deuteronomy 31. Anything in there you really got excited about and want to talk about this morning first? This is great stuff. These chapters are just exciting to read. And we're at that point where Moses is anointing or ordaining a new leader for Israel. They're still in the travel to the promised land. But, you know, when you consider one group left Egypt and they've had children and probably grandchildren, and now they've reached that point because there was a judgment set on them that they would, all those above the age of 20 would not enter the promised land. Many of that first generation are gone. And now we're, you know, Miriam died, Aaron died, and we're coming to that point where Moses seems like he's the last one left because the judgment upon that generation has been fulfilled. And while they were important for the journey, they were important to the teaching of the next generation, they're gone. And whatever they've handed down, whatever they've taught, is all that they've, all that this generation now has. Of course, they still have the pillar of fire, the pillar of the cloud, right? The cloud by day and the fire by night. So they have the presence of God. They have the tabernacle. They have Moses. They have the Levites. And so everything's been set in order in the wilderness. The things are about to change. What? They've had some battles along the way, right? They just tried to cross over and people come out to fight them. But now they're about to enter into that land that they've been in search of. And God has led them that way. But if you read verses 1 and 2, Moses went and spake these words to all Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. What did you get out of that when you read that? He's saying goodbye. Okay, continue without me. Did you get the sense from verse 2 that Moses just has no fight left? Right? What was the point of leaving? I mean, he was in Midian. He was on the backside of the desert keeping sheep. He was a shepherd. He had a family. And he had escaped Egypt. And then when God sent him back to get all these people and to bring them out, what do you think was number one on Moses' heart and mind? Boy, he wanted to get to that promised land too. But the beginning of the journey, that was the goal. And then now God says, you're not going. And how many of you, if you have a goal, a vision of what's going to happen in your life, and then that vision, that dream's crushed, it just takes something out of you. And Moses says, I can no longer go out or come in. I'm done. Now, is there anything else in this that you think is important to compare with that verse? Look at chapter 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What does that mean? He was still physically capable. Go back to verse 2, chapter 31. I can no longer go out or come in. It has to do with his spirit, doesn't it? It wasn't his body that was keeping him down. His heart was gone from it. And I've said this so many times, and particularly in settings where there are ministers. When your heart is no longer in it, it's time to go. When the burden is gone, it's time to go. Wednesday night we talked about, Nehemiah? And the point of the message was he just was crushed by the news that he got regarding Jerusalem. So God gave him a burden that day when he got that news, and that burden lasted how long? You remember, until the king, it came before the king. 4 months. Right? It wasn't like, okay, well, that was yesterday's news. For 4 months, that burden remained. By the way, that burden didn't go away after 4 months, but it finally got to the point where he could do something about it. And so when we have a burden, we work on that. We try to resolve it. We try to solve it. We try to present solutions. We try to lead. But Moses is now at the point, I mean, he's been following the cloud, what God told him to do, but really, his heart wasn't in it anymore. And now it's time to go in. And Moses says, now, so why did God take away the burden? Why did Moses no longer have a burden? Because it wasn't his mission anymore. You're not going in. Well, here we are. What's left to go in? That's all that's left. So I'm not needed anymore. So I'm done. I just, the story, the intimate understanding we have of where Moses is, this gigantic leader who is still the celebrated hero of Israel, still today and throughout the scripture as one of the greatest prophets ever. But he just reached a point where God took the burden away and Moses says, I'm done. So it's interesting in the psychology of it and the spirituality of it. Verse number 3, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. So God is going to lead you. He will destroy these nations from before thee. Thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. So I'm no longer out front. God is out front, and then Joshua. And so we're to follow him. We're in Deuteronomy 31. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, does that remind you of another verse? Joshua 1:9. This is one of those verses we try to teach children. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of a good courage. For the Lord, have not I commanded thee, be strong and courageous? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9. And it's the same message here. Why does he need to be courageous? There are going to be some fights ahead. Yeah, there's going to be some battles. The idea that when we follow God, everything's going to be smooth is wrong. We still have problems. How many of you still have problems after you got saved? And you love Jesus and you want to live for God, but it doesn't take the problems away. The biggest thing is that the world sees how we deal with our problems. And they see that instead of turning to drugs and alcohol, we turn to Jesus. We pray. We have confidence in God. Rather than, you know, just saying, well, I've just given up. I just quit. No, we're keeping our hope. We're keeping our confidence in God. That's the difference. They want to see the difference. So God says, be strong and of good courage. Be strong. Why did he tell them to do that? That's right. So he's got to not only fight the enemy, he's got to lead the people. And whenever we face that, the conflict or the opposition in that, what do we sometimes want to do? Quit. Quit. That's a four-letter word, right? Quit. And we have to learn to rest. And we have to learn to retreat. You know, sometimes we have to go into the mountain and pray like Jesus did. Just leave everybody behind and go pray. There were many times after a long day in hard work, he just said, y'all go ahead, I'm going to take a break, go see the Father. And he took time to pray. If we don't, you know, and go back to the commandments. He told them, take a day off every week. A day to recalibrate, a day to reconnect with God. Because there are things through the week that are going to try to push us away and drag us away from God. And so we need to get back to God one day a week for certain and get reset and make sure we haven't forgotten where we came from and where we're going. So be strong. I know you're going to want to quit. Be strong. I know this is going to be hard. Be courageous. And courageous, that has to do with my impression of myself, doesn't it? When they got to Kadesh Barnea and they went in and they spied out the land, what did the 10 spies say when they came back? We cannot do it. They are bigger than us. That doesn't have to do with when Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, but see, y'all are looking at them. We don't need to look at them. We need to look at our situation. And our situation is God told us we could have that land. And it's a great land, and I want it. So that's the courageous. That's the impression we have of ourselves, our ability, and the strength to stay in it. The Lord will not fail thee. He won't fail, and he won't forsake you. Verse 7, Moses called to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people to the land which the Lord hath sworn to their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 8, the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. What is dismayed? Discouraged? Worried? The term, the word actually means broken. Let's go back up to verse 2. How would you describe Moses? And don't raise your hand, but just think about how many of us have been broken. How many of us have been dismayed? In life, over the course of our years, there have been occasions where we were broken, where we wondered what tomorrow will bring, where we wondered, you know, when am I going to get some relief? And so as they're about to take this final step, Moses says, Joshua, you can't give up. You can't be broken. Don't get discouraged. Don't be afraid. God is there. Remind yourself. Look to him. Keep confidence in him. And you have to take these people in there. And Moses, you know, he says, look, my life was good. I didn't need this. Right? I had a good life, didn't need this. God, I was out there minding my own business in the desert. And God pulled me into this job, gave me this job, and y'all are ungrateful. Remember he said that to him? Now that's the way he said it in Ipahokee terms, but that's what he said. Verse 11, when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So here's the law. Here's the scripture. And you need to read this to them. You need to know that they've heard it. There needs to be no excuse. You need to read this to them. Verse 12, gather the people together. Men, women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates. Everybody. There's no excuse. Everybody needs to be there. Everybody needs to hear this. They need to understand what the rules are going forward, that they may hear, verse 12, that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe. If we leave that last part out, we're in trouble. How many times, just think about it, have we heard the word and we learned that, so we understood it. We understood what it meant. And then it says, and fear the Lord thy God. So we know God's place, but we didn't practice it. We didn't observe it. And you look at the commandments, and there are a lot of those we say, well, that, boy, that's a commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Well, you got to follow that one. Is it more important than the other nine? It's not. But that one we put a heavy weight on. A heavier weight than all the others, right? Thou shalt not kill. But what about all those other nine? We need to observe them. Verse 13, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear. As he says this, he says they're uninformed. They've not been taught as they should. They've not heard it directly. And so you make sure the children, which have not known anything, may hear it. It's a command. They've got to. Where did the problem, where did we mess up in our country? For generations. We've fallen short. We came to this idea that we let them decide. We came to this idea that, you know, we're busy. One of the worst things, and I understand how we push parenting and family and all that, and that's great. But we have decided in our community that travel ball is so important. And these kids, number one, is very expensive. Number two, it takes a lot of time. And number three, most of the time, it takes them out of church on Sunday. And when my boys were growing up in the school, the Christian school, said, we're going to go do a tournament. And I said, when is it? Well, it's on the weekend. And I said, well, we have church. Well, we'll do a devotion. It's not the same. Let me ask you this. If you told the school we'll read a book at home today, are they going to count you absent? Yeah, they're going to count you absent. It's not the same. But we get it in our mind that it's okay to have recreation and entertainment instead of Jesus, instead of church. And guys, you can go to heaven without church. But the problem is if we do without church, we're teaching our generation that God is less important. We're teaching that generation that it doesn't matter, that there's a substitute. In Israel, of course, we have the temple in Shiloh, and so they said, or Bethel, and so we want to have worship there. And they said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a satellite worship spot, so you don't have to travel all the way to church anymore. Guys, it didn't work. It didn't work for them. It doesn't work for us. Our kids need to be in church. They need to be in Sunday school. They need to be taught. And you say, Pastor, my kids are grown. Thank you. I understand. But that's where we messed up. And it's generations ago. But it's gotten so large now that the kids don't know. They don't know. How can we blame them? They don't know. They weren't taught. We've got to be aggressive. We've got to be enthusiastic and excited about reaching young people. Verse 15, the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. The pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go whoring after other gods of the strangers of the land where they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I've made with them. And my anger will be kindled against them in that day. And I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. They shall be devoured. Many evils and troubles shall befall them. So that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? The whole point is that they'll say, something's missing. How many of us have gotten to a point sometime in our Christian life where we stopped and thought about why our lives were in such despair and realized, I haven't been praying. I haven't been talking to God. Hey, that's the reason we need to have that routine. Daniel opened his shutters, his window, and he got on his knees and his face before God, facing the temple three times a day. Remember when they came to get Daniel, how they got him? They made a law that says you can't pray. And they said, Daniel, the law is you can't pray. And he opened his window and he got on his face. He prayed toward the temple. They said, "We got you." Because he was so consistent in his prayer life. We need to be consistent in our prayer life. We need to pray each day. I mean, you want to pray when you get up in the morning or when you're having your coffee or in the middle of the morning or sometime in the afternoon or sometime in the evening or all of those times. How many of you ever fall asleep praying? Yeah. I woke up the other day and I realized I was about halfway through my prayer. I just picked up where I left off. Now we need to be consistent in our prayer life. But God says there's this cycle. Right? That cycle. They're going to betray me. They're going to go worship other gods. And I'm going to hide my face. And then they're going to realize, oops, God's not here anymore. They're going to realize God's not here. Verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Isn't that incredible? What did God say to write? A, B, C, D. Isn't that how we teach our kids the alphabet? Jesus loves me. Right? Songs. Teach them with songs. And that's, you know, if we could, I don't know why we ever got away from this practice. Is there a periodic table song that you know of? What's that? The alphabet? Jesus loves me. Yeah. And it's a great song, isn't it? I teach it every day. I sing it to my babies every day. Yeah, Ben usually wakes up. I mean, not Ben. Sam wakes up singing it in the morning. And then it morphs into E-I-E-I-O. But Sam wakes up singing every morning. But yeah, it's a great song, and we need to know it. And the flip side of that is this song. Jesus knows me, this I love. You know, we can use the words, but using music and rhythm to teach. And I don't know why we don't do that in school every day. Well, And there are plenty of videos out there of teachers who do use music to teach concepts and science and all that. I'm still looking for a periodic table song, though, if you got one. There is one. See, I knew there would be. And so that way we can learn it. Yeah, you want to sing it for us this morning? So we need to make sure we use it. Guys, music is so important. It also, music and rhythm, it regulates our brain. How many of you listen to what we call classical music, right? It does. It gets our brain waves back where they're supposed to be. It's that bum, 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 bum stuff that we listen to that messes us up. They used to not... Yes, it does. And there's a message in the music. So God told Moses, write him a song. Verse 20, when I shall have brought them into the land, which I swear to their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn to other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And so many times I've seen this. People have a problem. They run to God, run to church. Well, they'll boy, and they'll say, man, I've been needing this. I've been needing church. I don't know why I ever quit going to church. I need church. This has been so good. This has helped me so much in a couple of weeks. Oh, this has been so good. Boy, my life's so much better now that I'm back with God. And in about 2 months, something happens. It could be something simple. It could be a basketball game that they want to stay home and watch, a baseball game, or travel to go watch a race or a vacation. Guys, and y'all know I'm not against any of that stuff. But people who have been so inconsistent with God Once they start becoming consistent, one service can throw them back in their old routine. It's patterns. What's the word I'm looking for? Routines. That's not the word, but we've got to make sure that we have our routine with God, because it doesn't take much to lose it. Verse 21, it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, this song shall testify against them as a witness. It shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, the children. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. God says, they're going to mess up. Did he still give them the promised land? Did he still go before them and fight for them and provide them? Yes. He knew they were going to mess up. Did Jesus know we were going to mess up? God so loved the world, even though he knew we were going to mess up, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, even though he's going to mess up, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. People get so stuck on this idea. Oh, I got saved. I gave my heart to Jesus. He washed my sins away. But I messed up since then. All of us have. All of us have. That doesn't mean we quit God. And so he says, take this book, verse 26, put it in the side of the ark. Verse 27, I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. And then he talks about the song in chapter 32. Verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of this children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Verse 6, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Guys, think about it. God's been so good to us. And I see what God does with people who surrender their lives and they start following God, pursuing God's will in their lives. It changes things. But then when we get that job, we get that raise, we get that promotion, and we have that income and it's increased, do we then just not need God anymore? And I've seen that happen so many times. When your wife or your husband comes back, do we not need God anymore? And I see that happen all the time. When your kid gets out of the mess that they're in, do you not need God anymore? And I see it happen all the time. We need God. By the way, if you don't backslide, problems are still going to come. But don't ever walk away from God. He has made thee, he has bought us, and he has established us. Verse 7, remember the days of old. Trying to erase history. We need to remember history. These holidays that we have, of course, this one is a very solemn day. But it's important for us to not forget. Not just this one, but this one. We need to remember our veterans, and we need to remember our fallen, and we need to remember to thank God, and we need to remember and celebrate the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. We need to celebrate the establishment of this great country, right? These are holidays that we have throughout. And by the way, don't forget Mama. And Father's Day is coming up too. Don't forget that. Need to make sure you get your orders in early. But he says, remember the old days. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father. Well, we need that, don't we? What a treasure it is to be able to hear those stories and to understand. You know, it's different reading history in the book than it is talking to somebody who lived through it. Whether they were in that area where the history took place or they just heard about it from a distance, it's still different. It's still more valuable than just reading it in a book. He will show thy elders. He will show thee. And thy elders, they will tell thee. It's our job to hand this down. Again, same thing. What happened? We've lost our history because we don't cherish it as a nation, as parents. We've lost our spiritual awareness because we didn't emphasize it when they were young. But raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is that what it says? Now, how many of us have children that are backslidden or have backslidden or got away? But do they have it in them? It's still in there. I've told you about the young woman who was, she just destroyed her life with drugs. And then when I was talking to her and I asked her about, she was telling me about her family and I asked her about her faith, and she quoted to me. Word for word. I believe it was Ephesians chapter 2 or Ephesians chapter 6. She knew it. Why? Because grandma used to take her to church. And obviously she had a Sunday school teacher that taught her that. Or emphasized Bible memorization. And it stays in there. It's important. Verse 9, the Lord's portion is his people. What is the treasure that God has? We think about treasure and we get an image of Solomon's treasury, right? Gold, and we think of Fort Knox. That's not the treasure. It's broke. Think about it, though. What do we think of when we think of treasure? Do we think of clothes and jewelry and money and gold and diamonds? Or do we really understand that treasure are the people? We talk about the church. The church is not the building. It's great to have a nice building, property, but the church is the people. The Lord's portion is his people. Look at verse 10. He found them in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. Now, God didn't need any help. God did that. Verse 18, chapter 32. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Unmindful. Unmindful. Don't even think about it. And I would venture to say that outside the church, God probably doesn't come to people's mind. But church people, we ought to be mindful of God. I mean, throughout the day. And it helps if we pray in the morning. And it helps if we read our Bible every day. It helps us to be mindful of God. I've got so much marked in here. I'm trying to be swift, because we're almost out of time. Look at chapter 32, verse 37. And he shall say, where are their gods and their rock in whom they trusted? So he's saying, you turn to these other gods and you follow them, and then you're in a mess. And God says, well, but you left me for that God over there. What's he doing for you? Right? Those countries over there that worship another god. So when you beat them, what does that say about their God? Verse 38, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices, drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. God uses this term, I am a jealous God. This phrase, I am a jealous God. See now that I, even I am he, verse 39, there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. God says, I'm it. You say, well, that doesn't sound like something that God should say. He's God. Who are we? Who do we think we are to tell God how to be God? God says, I'm it. I'm the only one. Quit looking somewhere else. Verse 46, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Set your hearts to these words. Verse 47, it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Church, Bible study, worship, prayer, it's not vain. It's important. It's about our lives. It's about our survival. It's about our children. It's about our communities. What happens when you take the Christians out of America? What would happen? Guys, it's bad enough now with us here. And getting worse every day. Because we've been silent. We've been passive. You want to be around in 20 years if it stays the way it is? 25 years? The last 40 years have... I mean, you could say maybe 60 years, 50 years. Pick your decade. Things have gone downhill. We took prayer out of schools and told people they could kill their babies before they're born. I would say that was a turning point for this country. We didn't just legalize it. We made it a federally accepted policy. And now, I know that every once in a while we have the mindset that we need to put prayer back in schools, but think about who'd be leading that prayer. Think about the kind of prayer our children would be learning from some of these teachers. It is your life, he says in verse 47. Verse 49, get thee up. He's talking to Moses, get thee up into this mountain, Abarim, to Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that's Jordan, that is over against Jericho. And behold the land, look at it, the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount where thou goest up, be gathered unto thy people. As Aaron thy brother died in the Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people. Verse 51, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel. Verse 51, because ye sanctified me not. Verse 52, thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go. Moses begins this study by saying, I just don't have it anymore. I just can't do it. Chapter 34, Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the Mount of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, all Naphtali to the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah to the utmost sea, south the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, to Zoar. The Lord said to him, this is the land which I swear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, I will give it to thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher to this day. Verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses. Verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit and of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. The ordination or the anointing of Joshua. So Israel is not without a leader, but Moses is dead. And that brings us to the end of Deuteronomy. Any comments, questions? Let's take a break.